Westside family. My name is Eric Johnson, and I serve on the production team. Thanks for joining us for this week's message. We hope you are blessed by what God has been speaking to us through our pastors and leaders, and we pray this leads you into an even more intimate relationship with Jesus. Love you guys, and enjoy.
We are talking about couples. And I'm just going to dive into this, okay? Don't have any dad jokes today. Don't have any extra announcements. So I just want to dive into this. I'm going to be like, you know, I always try to be transparent as a pastor or speaker, faith leader. And I have to say that, man, I have been struggling. I struggled with last week's message. I have really struggled with this week's message. As a person doing what I do, you always struggle. It just goes with the territory. And when I say struggle, I'm not talking about like interpersonal struggles. I mean, they're there too because we're human. But no, I'm talking about the type of struggle that just occurs mentally and emotionally simply because of what you're going to be sharing. And because what we share has different effects and has different dynamics associated with it. And some are more timely than others. And so because of that, you can find yourself in the middle of a battlefield, days leading up to a message and days after a message. Most people don't know this. Most pastors are resign on Mondays in churches. There's more pastors that resign on Mondays than any other day of the week. And it's because of the occurrence of battle and the mental and emotional anguish that a minister goes through before and after what is occurring right now. And I'm just saying that to really say to you, I feel like this series, La Familia, is really important. And I'm struggling and I'm battling in my mind and what I need to say because the enemy knows, and the enemy is targeting our families right now. I mean, he's always targeted our families. In our reality, the first attack against humanity, which was against Eve, in our reality was against family. So that's nothing new. But we are experiencing a type of attack upon our families like never before. I mean, we are seeing the I don't want to get into that right now. But so that's, I really do believe that's why I'm struggling. So what you can be doing is praying for me. I'm not one to ask for prayer. I'm very independent, and I'll just fight my battles alone if I have to. Most of the time I do. I'm just not that kind of person. I've never been that kind of person. But because of I see the need and the importance of this talk, I see the need for you to be praying for me in regards to me delivering to you what I need to deliver to you for this series. Does that make sense? So we're talking about couples today. Now, this topic is a very, very complicated topic. Probably one of the most complicated topics that a minister can cover is in regards to couples, married couples. And one of the reasons being is because as married couples, we as individuals bring so much to the relationship. I mean, we bring our past, we bring our present, we bring our future. We bring our hurts, we bring our joys. We bring our dysfunctions, we bring our functions. We bring our strengths, we bring our weaknesses. We bring our truths. We bring our secrets. And so when you get two people that is bringing all this into what we call a singular relationship, where man and woman become one, it becomes extremely complicated. And you can basically categorize married couple talks in three ways. You can categorize them in as clinical talks. These are talks that is held by professionals, professional counselors, professional marriage counselors. They are of a very sensitive sensitive issues. The other one is just daily living talks. These are very, very practical conversations or discussions that you have with or as married couples. And it doesn't necessarily have to be done by a professional. It doesn't have to be done by a pastor. These kind of talks can happen in a small group. Some of the best daily living couples talks is when you're sitting down with a couple that's been married for a few decades, and they've come through the ups and downs, and they're full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and they don't hold nothing back, and they're willing to be real and transparent, and they just deliver to you the goods of daily living as a married couple. And then we have the biblical talk. Like, what does the Bible say about being married or married couples in general, about male and female? And now this you would think would be easy, but it's not easy. It's extreme. It's, again, complicated and can be very confusing, because the Bible does say various things about couples and about men and women in a married relationship. But the problem is, most of them are not commands from God. And because they're not commands from God, they're very subjective. So I can look at a verse and I can think it means one thing in regards to a married couple. You can look at the same verse and you can think it means something totally different in regards to a married couple. And so when you start talking about marriage from a biblical standpoint, you have to go into it and realizing, okay, this is subjective. What matters for me may not matter for you, and what I think about one thing, you may not think about one thing. Now, there are some commands associated with married couples, and they're not subjective at all. Like, you know, adultery, that is not subjective. That is straight, point blank, period, a commandment not to do. So I'm saying all that for you to realize, okay, we are entering into very complicated waters today. I can't approach it from a clinical standpoint. I'm not educated in that way. I'm not going to approach it from a practical standpoint, even though I could. Been married for 30 years, and things are good for us, and I feel like I have a lot of wisdom I could share, but I'm not led to do that. I feel like sometimes we cover that in one-on-one conversations or sometimes in small groups. But so where I'm coming from today is from a biblical standpoint, because this is honestly where I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me. And through my course of thinking and meditating about this topic and just the series in general, the one overriding push I keep getting from the Holy Spirit is just speak it, Jonathan. Just speak it. Don't worry about it. Just speak what you see. Just speak what you hear. So that's what I'm going to do. But in doing this, I know that what I'm going to be sharing with you is subjective. And it's okay. So what I'm going to say to you today is based off of, number one, an area of scripture that I interpret a certain way in regards to man and woman, but it's also based off of my experience. My experience in ministry of talking with and working with and witnessing countless numbers of men, women, and couples. And so I'm coming to you today and really a different approach biblically in regards to man and woman and them as a married couple. I'm coming to you through by the way of origin. I would be classified as an originist because I believe that so much in the way that we should exist today is found in the origin of life. In other words, in the space of time and experience between God and humanity before sin. I believe when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he resurrected, he brought us back to the possibilities of origin. Now, some things in origin will not be reversed. Pick up a snake and it's going to bite you. Go look to play for a lion and you're going to be lunch. We as men still are just, I'm saying men because God directed it toward men. We as men still labor. Making a dollar, saving money, working is hard. And there's no reversing that. Women without medication still suffer during childbearing. So there are some things that you will see in origin that are not reversible. It's just the way that they are. But there are some principles. There are some things that God established that are for us today. And if we can get an understanding of these principles that God established in origin, in our origin, then we can reap the benefit and the blessing that humanity was supposed to reap from it prior to the act or choice of sin. Does that make sense? So I'm speaking in the context of origin. Now for me, in order for our marriages to be the best of what they can be, it doesn't start with the marriage couple. It starts with the individual. So many times, you can go to a couples class, read a book about couples, have discussions about couples, and you can have all the facts and you can be given a to-do list to make sure everything is okay as a couple. But if you are not right as an individual, then you will never get your business right as a couple. And so before we tackle the couple, we have to look at the origin of man and the origin of woman. And we need to look at the environment that they were created within. See, I believe the environment that Eve and Adam was created in set a standard for the rest of humanity to follow. Kind of like an animal. If a cat is born into captivity, what does it become? A pet. A tame cat. If a cat is born into the wild, what does it become? Becomes a wild cat. Just in that way, this is subjective, you don't have to believe this way. I believe what Eve was created into has become a standard for the rest of women in life. And I believe what Adam was created into became a standard for the rest of men in life. And if Eve is removed, or if women is removed from the standard that God created them in, then they begin to struggle. And if Adam, our men, are removed from the standard in which God created them into, then what you have is a struggle. And if man is not being or experiencing what they were to experience from origin, and if women are not experiencing or living in a way that they were created into, then when they come together, you're going to have nothing but struggle. And love don't change the struggle. Sex don't change the struggle. Money don't change the struggle. Having a bunch of kids don't change the struggle. Having the greatest jobs in the world doesn't change the struggle. If as a man you are not living from your origin, and as a woman you're not living from your origin, then you are struggling. And no matter the kind of marriage or what you have as a married couple, you're going to bring those struggles into the marriage. So let's look at Eve first. So when Eve was created, she was created from a different source than Adam, but she was also created in a different environment than Adam. And this really does speak to some of the differences that you find in male and female. So when you look at the environment that Eve was created into, you see that she was created into a more established environment. She was created in an environment of order. So when she was created, the animals was already named. Adam named these animals. When she was created, because Adam had already started tending the garden, she was created into sustenance. When she was created, possibly, we don't know this, but just possibly, she was created with shelter. When she was created with herself being the only one for Adam. There was no competition. There was no other beauties to look at. She was the only one that was for him. When she was created with some dependency upon him and some dependency upon the Lord. So what you have with Eve is Eve was created into the establishment of some order. She wasn't created with all order because God said it is not good for man to be alone. He needs a comparable helpmate, a suitable helpmate, some version says. So what we know just by seeing that everything wasn't perfect, that he needed her to be complete, so not everything was in order. But what mattered the most for her was in order. Now what I've experienced in my years of ministry, when talking with men about their wives, or talking with wives in general, or talking with couples, what I have witnessed is a parallel for the modern woman and Eve. What I've seen is a need in women to have a basic establishment of order. Let me say, there are exceptions to the rule. I want to clear that out. You might be a woman that's different than how I'm speaking. I've come across that as well. But in general, what I've seen, what I've witnessed like firsthand, is various forms of order that a wife, not just women, let's bring it back to the context, what a wife needs. Number one is I've seen that a wife needs to have things in order when it comes to herself. She needs to feel good about how she looks. She needs to feel good about how she presents herself. She needs to feel good about how she feels about herself. What I've seen is women needs to have an established order regarding who they are as women. From the physical standpoint, to the emotional standpoint, to even the maternal standpoint. What I've also experienced is for there to be an order of home for women. Their home is in order, or they have a home that they can put in order. What I've come across when working with couples is if a woman doesn't have a home, then there is a struggle. I'm not talking about home ownership. And what I've also witnessed is if a woman doesn't have order in the home, there is a struggle. The other thing that I've witnessed is the order of trust. A wife needs, from the core of her being, needs to be able to trust her Adam. Needs to be able to trust her Adam with wisdom. Needs to be able to trust her Adam with strength. Needs to be able to trust her Adam with protection. Needs to be able to trust her Adam with provision. Needs to be able to trust her Adam physically, needs to be able to trust her Adam intimately, needs to be able to trust her Adam emotionally, needs to be able to trust her Adam sexually, needs to be able to trust her Adam in every form of that being in that relationship. And if a wife cannot trust their Adam, then there is going to be internal issues in that wife's being. I didn't mean to preach. I'm preaching. I don't even like to preach. I want to just talk to you. I want to try to. I come on Sunday morning, you guys get me riled up. Wednesday night, I'm chilled. I'm taking it easy. Let's get back on point. A woman, I keep saying woman, but I'm meaning wife. So please excuse me. So another order of wives that I've experienced is they need to know they're the only one. Not the only one physically, but the only one that our husbands gawk at. In other words, they need to know, I'm going to say something that's going to offend some of you. They need to know that their breasts and their butts are the only ones we're looking at. They need to know that their legs is the only ones we check out. They need to know their eyes is the only ones we want to gaze into. They need to know they're the only ones that we want to touch and we want to be touched by. And what I've witnessed and what I've seen if that wife sees her husband gawking at another set of breasts, another butt, other legs, other face, other eyes, there is issues in her, and then there is issues in the marriage. I told you some of you are going to get offended. You got real quiet on me. Let's just be real. I mean, Solomon himself was speaking to husbands and says, enjoy the breast of the wife of your youth. And then it says, be enraptured by her love. You know what that word means? You ought to study what that enrapturing means. So I'm just saying that for you not to be offended and hold it against me. Wives, if I'm saying anything that you oppose, come talk to me after church. I want to know. The last and not the least, a basic order for a wife is to know their future is okay. So remove and establish order of themselves. You have insecurities, you have lack of confidence, you have inner struggle. Remove a home or a home that's in order. What you have is a lack of peace, a lack of settledness, a lack of rest, a lack of protection. Remove trust. You feel like you don't have anyone that you can lean on. Anyone you can share your most private thoughts, moments, issues with. Remove being the only one in the husband's eye. You're going to self-reflect and you're going to be like, what's wrong with me? Why isn't he looking at me? Why does he want to touch somebody else as opposed to touching me? Then there lies interpersonal issues. And if the order of the future is not in place, then that means the present is all shaky. This is my firsthand experience in 30 years of ministry that I've had with wives, couples, and husbands. If you're different than this, I'm sorry, but this is what I've experienced. And I've experienced that if these things aren't in order, then there is a struggle in the marriage. Now let's look at men. A little less complicated. Let's just be honest. Women, you're way more complicated than us guys. God created us to be dumb, strong, and tough. I can fight my way out of most things. I'm dumb, strong, and tough. But now her, she's got the brain that's all complicated and weird and crazy. Not weird, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that, how it came out. Just different than me is what I'm meaning. I appreciate all of you, baby. I'm glad I got all of you. From the inside out, top to bottom, it's all good. So let's jump into this. So when what Adam was created into is he was created, he awoke to the wild. There was no order. I can't say there was no order. I would be corrected. God did establish a garden. The garden was the establishment, but within the garden, there was no order. Not that it was dysfunctional. Just because there wasn't order doesn't mean it was dysfunctional. I mean, this was God's creation. It was pure. It was perfect. It was grand. It was wonderful. There was no dysfunction, but yet it wasn't orderly. He was born into the wild. He was born into organized chaos. He was born into animals running amok without any identification. He was running with trees bearing fruit, but yet there was no order to that. He was just born into the wild. And what I've experienced when working with men is men usually have a tendency to do better when things are a bit messy. Men, how many of you can handle a dirty house for 3 days as opposed to your wife handling it maybe for 24 hours? A couple of you? All right. You might be sitting there thinking, man, I can handle my house dirty all the time. 3 days, that's no way. Yeah, my max is about 2 days, 3 days. So anyway, so he woke into the wild. And we see that men have a tendency to do better in that kind of environment. In our reality, you can find that men have a need for that kind of environment. He also awoke to freedom. When he awoke, he wasn't dependent on anybody. In regards to the garden, yes, we know he had connection with God, but in regards to where God placed him, he was 100% independent, which created a freedom in him. Most men, and I want to emphasize within the role that God has placed them in, need independency and need freedom. Remove independency and remove freedom from a man that is in the place that God has for them, then it's like putting a dog in a cage. And as men, we don't function right, we don't think right, we don't act right, we don't respond right. We're really hard to live with. When we don't have a sense of freedom or independency in the place that God has planted us. And then Adam awoke to purpose. When he awoke, purpose was not already fulfilled. He awoke into purpose. He awoke with a job to do. He awoke with a mission to accomplish. He awoke with his strength needing to be used. His willingness to get down and dirty to be of use. He awoke to a big job. Us men, are at the best, are at our best selves when we are given a big job in the role that God has called us to take care of. Put us in a position to where we don't have to work. Put us in a position to where we don't have responsibility. Put us in a position to where we're not using our strengths and our giftings and the way God has made us. Guess what begins to happen? We begin to get dysfunctional. Have you ever had a working dog? Border collie, Australian shepherd, blue heeler, and put them in a cage? Or put them in a fenced-in yard, and you just left them in the fenced-in yard. They never had no responsibilities. They were never able to really work according to how they were designed or created. What happens to that dog? That dog begins to get dysfunctional. It'll chew up things. It'll tear up things. It won't listen to the owner like it typically does. Us men are kind of the same way. Cage us up. Put unwarranted demands on us. Try to control who we are, who God made us to be. Try to dictate us like puppets on a string. It might work, but what happens is we become dysfunctional. We become dysfunctional in emotion. We become dysfunctional in choice. We become dysfunctional in mental processes. We become dysfunctional in responsibility because we are not living according to how God created us from origin. So as husbands, I keep saying men, but as husbands, we have to embrace and experience something like Adam did. He was born into the wild. He was born with responsibilities. He was born with purpose. He was born in a way to where his muscles and his strengths was demanded. And it goes the same for us. Now let's jump over to Eve again. So she was created with her primary focus being her husband, her family, and her home. Remove this from a woman and they will have struggles. Husbands, if you're not the husband, you should be. If you don't have the family that you should have, or the home, a healthy home that you should have, then the wife will struggle. What's interesting is the parallel between a woman's need or a wife's needs and a family's need. Typically speaking, if a wife's basic needs are taken care of, then the rest of the family's needs is taken care of, specifically speaking about the kids. Because if you was to really look at what Eve was born into, it's the same thing that kids needs to be born into. Sustenance, order, shelter, priority. Now let's look at Adam a little bit. This might kind of upset the apple cart a little bit. It's when Adam was created, he was created with purpose before he was created a wife. I want you to think about this. When Adam was created, God gave him purpose before God gave him a wife. So what do we learn from this? We learn that a wife cannot be a man's sole purpose. Don't get purpose and priority mixed up. A man's wife and his family is his number one priority. But a husband's wife and children is not his sole purpose. Why? Because God did not create Adam that way. As a husband, if all you ever focus on is your wife and your kids, and you're not focusing on the thing that God created you for, then there is going to be an unfulfillment in you. There is going to be a struggle in you. There is going to be a battle in you. There's going to be a lack in you because, yes, your wife and your children are your number one priority, but they're not your only purpose. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at wives were created with the need of order and function best when there is order. What are we looking at with men, our husbands? Husbands was created with the need to be free and independent in the place and in the way that God created him to be. Don't take this out of context. I'm not saying that any man should abandon their responsibilities and just be this free bird floating around doing whatever the heck they want to do when they got responsibilities and jobs to tend to. I'm not saying that. Would never say that. So, looking at this as individuals and then looking at this as a couple, I think it's safe to say, let me speak to the husbands in regards to the wives. Husbands, if you are not enabling your wife to have a life that is in order according to their needs, then you are not doing what you need to do as a husband. And you will not have the best marriage that you can have. And wives, let me say this to you in regards to your husband. If you are not supporting your husband in his independent and free pursuit of doing and being what God has called him to be, then you are going to help create dysfunction in him, and then he will not be the best he could be. And when each of you are not the best you can be, then you will not be the best couple that you could be. Wives need order. Husbands need some freedom and independency to be who and what God created them to be. And we get that from origin. That's what you find with Adam and you find with Eve. And this was supposed to be replicated from generation to generation. But sin came into the picture and disrupted all of it. To the point that even God said to Eve, you're going to want your husband, but yet he will rule over you. Now, this was a part of the curse. And like I said before, Jesus redeemed all this. So that's why now there is equality between husbands and wives. But prior to the redemption of Jesus, this was the way, and it was a part of the curse that God placed upon Eve. You're going to suffer in childbearing. You're going to have want for your husband, and he's going to rule over you. In other words, he's going to be your Lord. That's why Sarah referred to Abraham as Lord. Let me hear it, baby. Say Lord. Did you hear? She said, Jesus set me free from that. That's a good one, baby. That's a good one. That's good. Lord Johnny sounds good. I'm going to ride that one today. I'm going to ride that. I'm not going to say nothing to you unless you say Lord, just today only. Just today only. Guess what? She will not be dependent on me at all today. She'll be doing her own thing. What we're really talking about is a co-equal order. An order, this is different than the order that a woman needs. I'm speaking just the order that God established. See, God established man, Adam, to function and live a certain way. And if we as men don't, we struggle. And we bring that into our marriages. God created women, Eve, to live and function in a certain way. And if wives don't get that, there is struggle. And they bring that into the marriage. This keeps coming to me, so I'm going to say it. When it comes to the needs of orders for women, wives, all wives have the basic need of order, but at the same time, this is why you're a little bit more complicated than us, you also have your own individual needs of order. Like, for example, my wife has to have our home in order, or she just don't function at her best. Like, she might can go, might is a big word here. She might can go 24 hours with a messy house. But after about 24 hours, oh, Lord, the kitten's got claws and I better watch out. She can't function at her best capacity. And I learned this years ago, and I really do try my best. Now, I never live up to her standards, but I honestly try my best to help her keep our house in order. Not because I'm a dog on a leash. Not because I'm a puppet on a string. No. Like, I know that is a order that my wife needs. And I am going to do my part in helping her have the order that she needs so that she can just function how she needs to function on a daily basis. Husbands, your wives has an order that they need. It is one of your jobs to help them maintain and have that order that they need. And wives, your husbands has some independency and some freedoms that they need. And it is your job to support them doing and being what God created them to do and be. Am I making sense this morning? Like, this is ground. This is 101. This is ground level. There's so much other areas of discussion when it comes to couples, but I guarantee you, if you could get this right, then what you will have is a very solid foundation for you to build the rest of your marriage upon. Now let me, what time is it? 11:20. Let me close with the principle of what matters. When I sit down and talk with people that's going to be getting married, this is something that I typically bring out. The principle of what matters. The principle of what matters is the husband has things that really matters to him, and the wife has things that really matters to her. I'm not talking about just desires, just little wants. I'm talking about things that really matter to one another. And if you're not able to experience or receive these things or work toward these things, then you begin to have an internal problem. So the principle of what matters is me as a husband, I'm to see, I'm to realize, and I'm to embrace what really matters to my wife. And it is one of my duties to make sure she has and she can experience what really, really matters to her. Because at the end of the day, if any of us as human beings are not able to experience or work toward to where one day you will experience what really, really matters to you, then we're going to be, as Solomon says, Bible says, or Solomon said, that a desire delayed makes the heart sick. So when you have things in you that really, really, really matter, but yet those are delayed, or you never get to experience them, or you're not working toward them, what it does is it makes your heart sick. So I have made it one of my sole roles as a husband to do my best to accommodate what really, really matters to my wife. Can I do everything at once? No, we are still working toward things. And guess what? It is not a one-way road. it is also her job and her responsibility to see, to recognize, and embrace what really, really, really matters to me, and to support me and to help me, to accommodate me in pursuing and experiencing what really, really matters to me. How does this help? At the end of the day, neither one of us are sick, but both of us has either experienced or we're helping one another obtain the things that really, really matters to one another in life. See, marriage can't be a one-way street. Like, what really matters can't just be for the husband. And what really matters can't just be for the wife. Because we each are created equal. We each have purpose. We each have passion. And we each have desires. And each one of us should have an opportunity in life to possess, pursue, and experience the things that really, really matter. There's no room for selfishness in a marriage. But this is what I've experienced in us. Sometimes the focus is on what matters to me. It's like, if you can take what matters to us, he, her. Sometimes maybe our time is devoted to what really matters to me, so it's a little bit unbalanced. But that doesn't last for an extended amount of time. All of a sudden, it begins to level out. And then what really matters to her begins to rise. And there's a lot of time and a lot of intention toward what really matters to her. And then guess what? Sometimes what matters to both of us is right up here, and that's when life gets really hectic. That's when irons are in the pot and we're busy and we're just running by one another and we don't have time for the quiet intimacy. But it doesn't stay that way. Things begin to level out. So you may not be in a season that what matters to you is the pursuit. It might be the season for your spouse, vice versa. But when you look at everything, there has to be this equal balance of husbands and wives helping accommodate what really matters to one another. Because if not, you'll find your heart sick, your life unfulfilled, and your marriage a bit unbalanced, which has a tendency to be toxic and create divisions and separations, and it sucks out passion. So along with the origin that we talked about, the principle of what matters truly does matter for your marriage. Husbands and wives, let me add this in there. You cannot forfeit everything that matters to you simply because you have kids. You cannot sacrifice everything that matters because you have a kid that in a specific activity. It does certain things. The hard part about being a family is the balance of it all. And you have to learn how to balance that out. You don't want to get to your senior years, turn around and be like, man, I should have did that when I was 30. I should have been this when I was 40.
should have took the opportunity to pursue that thing. I should have balanced things out. Because, you know, if you really, you as a husband or you as a wife, if you are not being the person that God created you to be, then what are you really bringing to the family? Yeah, you might bring provision, but are you bringing joy to the family? Are you bringing peace to the family? Are you bringing happiness to the family? See, I've lived life on both sides of the tracks. I've lived life where I was fully experiencing everything I wanted to, and I've lived life where I haven't. And I can honestly say what I was able to bring to the table when I was experiencing what mattered was a lot better than what I was bringing to the table when everything that mattered to me was ignored. Same way with my wife. As husbands and wives, what matters to us affects what we bring to the table for our kids. Effects in the way of joy, effects in the way of peace, effects in the way of fulfillment. But the only way that you can correctly do that is when you support one another as a partnership, husbands and wives. Am I making sense? Well, that's what I felt like the Holy Spirit said, Jonathan, just speak it. So I hope you can take some of this, all of it, and make your marriages better. Make your family more healthy. Husbands, you can be who God created you to be. And wives, you can experience the order that God created you for. And then y'all together can pursue what really matters to your heart. What really matters. So then you can experience the blessings and the fulfillment and the goodness of God that He has for you. Amen? Stand to your feet and let's just worship Him.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope God spoke to you personally through this message and continues to encourage you throughout the coming weeks.